Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, the 5th of July. It's your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm John Collins in the NPR newsroom, filling in for Mike Mulcahy, who is on vacation. On today's edition, Minneapolis police will start carrying body cameras, U.S. Bank takes steps to divest from fossil fuels, and what's going on in Minnesota's 2nd congressional district in the shadow of Trump. First up, Minnesota environmentalists are applauding U.S. Bank for taking steps to divest from the fossil fuel industry. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
Climate activist group Min350 has been working since October to engage U.S. Bank officials on climate change. The company recently issued an environmental policy statement acknowledging climate change and taking a stance against investments in burning and mining coal. Ula Nilsson leads corporate accountability efforts at Min350. She says activists are still talking to U.S. Bank officials about another climate change concern, tar sands oil extraction.
We are still trying to get U.S. Bank to say that they, will not have anything to do with oil pipelines, but they have made some changes in their policy that we believe are the first steps towards that.
Oil extracted from Alberta flows through Minnesota by pipeline. The process of extracting and refining the oil is carbon intensive. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And in Minneapolis this week, police officers will begin to carry body cameras. Brant Williams reports.
Officers in the downtown precinct will be the first to start wearing the cameras. The rest of the more than 600 patrol officers, including SWAT members across the city, are expected to be equipped by this fall. The public call for body cameras increased following several high-profile incidents where officers shot and killed African-American men. Some advocates for the cameras say they're disappointed a new state law will restrict the release of some footage. However, video showing officers using deadly force can be made public. The department is adding 2 full-time civilian employees to handle requests for video. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
American politicians everywhere are trying to figure out what Donald Trump will mean for their campaigns. This election year, Minnesota's home to a rare open congressional seat that's considered competitive. Reporter Mark Zedeklik has this look at how the race in the state's 2nd congressional district is shaping up.
Minnesota's 2nd congressional district stretches from southern Twin Cities suburbs well into south central Minnesota. President Obama squeaked out a victory in the 2nd 4 years ago. DFL Senator Amy Klobuchar handily won there, too. But Republican John Klein has held firm to his congressional seat since first winning it in 2002. Klein's not running for re-election this year. And Nathan Gonzalez, who tracks congressional races around the country for the Rothenberg and Gonzalez Political Report, says Democrats are finally well-positioned to flip the district.
I think it's going to be a tough hold for Republicans, particularly in this environment.
Translate this environment to with Donald Trump at the top of the Republican ticket. Gonzalez thinks Trump will generally help Democrats and hurt Republicans.
I think he's most likely to be a drag on down-ballot races, and that includes the 2nd District.
Democrats settled on businesswoman Angie Craig as their 2nd District candidate. Former talk radio host Jason Lewis won a fierce Republican endorsement battle, but faces 3 primary challengers, including businesswoman Darlene Miller, whom Klein is backing. Lewis has opined about politics for years, but sitting outside a coffee shop in Inver Grove Heights, he said he still hasn't figured out how Trump will affect his campaign.
I don't know. I really don't know. This is the strangest election year I've been involved in, and when you know it, I'm smack dab in the middle of it.
Federal Election Commission reports show that through March, Angie Craig had raised 7 times as much money as Lewis. And unlike Lewis, Craig has a campaign office. In addition to shoring up DFL support, Craig says she's spending a lot of time trying to appeal to independents and Republicans. And Craig says she's hearing a lot of concerns about the presumptive Republican presidential nominee.
Some of them are telling me that Donald Trump is just too extreme for them, and that they've been voting for Republicans for a very long time, and that they are definitely voting for a Democrat this time, some of them for the first time.
As Lewis campaigns for a leaner federal government, he's portraying Craig as a radical fan of big government. Craig is painting Lewis as an extreme conservative and doing her best to link him to Trump.
What I know is that the party of Donald Trump endorsed Jason Lewis in the 2nd Congressional District. And so I think you could make the argument that the party of Trump is alive and well out here. And I don't think that's what the voters of the 2nd Congressional District want.
But Lewis says voters will reject Craig's efforts to tie him to Trump and make issues of controversial things he said on the radio.
They don't want the same old gotcha politics and we're going to tie you to this or tie you to that or here's what somebody said 15 years ago. That doesn't help the average family in the 2nd District. They want to know, what are you going to do when you get there?
On the northern end of the 2nd District outside a public library in Eagan, 90-year-old Willard Converse, a Democrat, is convinced Trump is turning off many more people than he's energizing. Converse, who's been around since Calvin Coolidge was president, says he feels sorry for Republicans.
I've never heard of a major political party being destroyed the way that Trump is destroying the Republican Party. And apparently they can't do a damn thing about it. It's so strange.
While Trump has infuriated many people, Lewis says Trump is also bringing newcomers to the party who could help down-ballot candidates like him.
He does appeal to some blue-collar Democrats and independents that some more traditional Republicans might not.
Some Republicans say Minnesota Democrats have their own top-of-the-ticket problem. Bernie Sanders beat Hillary Clinton in Minnesota's caucuses by more than 23 points. And some DFLers may be less than enthusiastic to turn out for Clinton this fall. Covering politics, I'm Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Eagan.
And that's your Polycast for Tuesday, July 5th. I'm John Collins in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.